Genesis Trust, a nonprofit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Today's show is on identity. That's our topic for today, is identity. And we want to explore who you are, who we are. And I think a lot of times people establish a self-definition and they feel very comfortable in the idea of who they are. But I think if we keep an open mind and if we are flexible, we'll find that there are many, many endless layers of self that if we're courageous enough, we can explore them. And probably the most noble definition of identity has a lot to do with expanding our concept of self to other human beings. Some of the most enlightened people who ever lived saw not only their separateness as being a definition of self, but they often expanded their consciousness to include all of humanity. And from that, there was generated a lot of love towards other people because they saw all people as an extension of themselves, of their own identity. Each one of us, in due process of evolution, forms part of a greater life. Yet though we are merged with the whole, we do not lose our identity, but forever remain separated units of consciousness, though one with all that lives or is. Of one thing we can be sure, and that is that identity ever remains. And that thought is from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and she's the author of 24 books. And the essence of most of what we talk about on this show comes from the writings of Alice Bailey. So to explore identity further, how does one develop an identity, and that is develop an identity without developing a big ego at the same time?
Well, it is done through usually the hard knock school of life. I think most people are familiar with the both the sense of inferiority and superiority that can plague the development of a healthy sense of identity. There are times when one might find oneself denigrating oneself, downplaying one's essential divinity, feeling less worthy than other people. And there are other times, probably most people are familiar with, when there's an overinflated sense of one's self-importance, and life has a way of trimming one's sails when one gets into that condition. It usually doesn't last too long. But the writings of Alice Bailey have an interesting take on identity, that it is a healthy sense of identity is merged with a concept of humility, true humility. Humility for a lot of people might bring to mind a character like Uriah Heep in the book David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, but that's not humility. At least not in the sense that Alice Bailey posed that quality. She said that there is no true humility without knowledge of the self. And she also said that true humility is based on an adjusted sense of right proportion. An adjusted sense of right proportion. What that means to me is that one has a sense of one's identity, of who one is, but at the same time sees oneself in the context of society and humanity as a whole and whatever group or groups one feels affiliated with. So there is the uniqueness and the preciousness of the individual identity, but at the same time an awareness that one belongs to and is part of a larger whole. That's humility, and that is a sense of identity that does not bring with it a big ego in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm. Self, well, who is self, really, when we think about self? And I think you're right about that, what you said, Sarah, and that is that it's very difficult to love other people and to understand humanity in general if we don't have a concept of self. And so I think that throughout life we should always explore the concept of self. And it's sad to see people, and it really is what a lot of people are about. They get to a certain stage of their lives and their personality gels, and it's almost as though they feel secure in a very solid self-definition of who they are. And that's wrong, because the self, as implied in the writings of Alice Bailey, it has a lot of depth to it, and we can continue to explore that depth. And I think it takes a lot of courage also to reach deep within ourselves and to continue to be open-minded as to who we are.
Well, there's also the fact that I think a lot of people just give up. It may not be that they are content with themselves, but they just seem to lose the energy to keep changing and growing. And that's really what lies behind the development of a healthy identity. It has to be constantly expanding and elevating itself. I think I've mentioned before a comment made by a very old lady in a program I saw about the very elderly and why they manage to live so long, the people that make it to, say, 100. And this woman said, "Every day I try to be a better person." And that really touched me. She was 102. And if at 102 you're still trying to be a better person, well, then surely those of us who haven't reached quite that point in life can keep trying. So you can't give up. You can't stop trying to develop and refine your character and gain a deeper sense not only of your own identity, but of the identity that all people are struggling to define and express. If you're going through the struggle, so is everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I'll say one thing for certain, and that is if people take up the challenge of reading the Alice Bailey books, one thing will happen. You'll be challenged as far as who you are, what your identity is, because I found that to be true. As I explore the 24 volumes of Alice Bailey, I'm constantly being challenged as far as my identity, what humanity is all about. Mm-hmm. And I must say that a lot of the ideas are thought-provoking, and it's the type of thing where you have to put down the book sometimes and really ponder on a particular idea of what self is all about as presented by Alice Bailey.
I think part of the problem is that our sense of self gets so distracted by external things that are all around us. We look at ourselves and we try to define ourselves by how much money we have, or the number of degrees of college degrees that we have, or by our car or our house or all these material things, or our job or our profession, and or particularly our ethnic background. And all of these things are on the surface. They're outside of the self. And they're really distractions. They really force us to look in the wrong direction. And I think we should be looking more inward towards the real self for that sense of identity.
Isn't what you're talking about the tendency that people have to define their identity in terms of what they are not? In other words, to distinguish themselves from others. To say, I am a doctor, or I am a wealthy person, or I am a Democrat, or whatever. You're distinguishing yourself from others, and that's why have such a narrow sense of identity. If you approach it from the opposite end of the spectrum and you try to define your identity in terms of what you have in common with all selves, it's quite a different approach you find yourself taking. You're working toward the center of life that way rather than going out to the periphery like you say.
Yes, and I think that's the direction one should take, because it's there that you begin to realize the oneness, the sense of oneness, and that's the one key. This self, this ability to identify, I think is the key, because it is the one constant that is common with everybody, and not everyone is the same on the surface, but within us there is that constant. And that's what enables us to identify with each other, I think, this sense of identity that we have of ourselves.
One of the most noble missions that all of us should be on is our search for self. Who are we, and what is our relationship to the universe? What is our relationship to God? And I think it's one of the most noble missions that each individual can be on. But I think both of you are right. There are many things that occur in our lives that hide our search for identity, defining ourselves as our profession. And this is why a lot of people get so upset when they're no longer involved in their profession, because they feel like they've lost their false sense of identity that mm-hmm. they've constantly intertwined with their definition of self. And then even the idea of I am my body, well, you speak to someone who's had the misfortune of losing a limb, and you speak to them, and they've discovered that they are still themselves, even though they've lost their limb. And one can also say, well, my thoughts, but then we can change our thoughts. We can also change our beliefs. And so what we find is our search for self is really something very deep, and we have to really meet the challenge and be very open-minded and explore what self is. So there are so many things that hide our identity. Is there anything else you can think of that maybe does hide our identity? Because if we're going to search for who we are, we have to see if we can have all these ideas disappear about our full sense of identity.
Well, I think it has to do with what we identify with. In other words, what we link our identity to. Like you say, some people identify so strongly with the body that they can't imagine being anything but the physical being with all that mm-hmm. goes with that, race, sex, appearance, and so on. But if we identify with, say, values, character traits, with intelligence, with spirituality, that's a bit more abstract, a sense of self, and it's also taking one away from the outer objectified expression of mm-hmm. self and leading one to an inner appreciation of the psychology that makes up the self. It's all a matter of where we place our sense of affinity, I think. If we say, I am a child of God, that's who I am. That is myself. I am a creation of God. Then I think we have a doorway into understanding self as the very reality that relates us to all other selves. And yet people who hear the word self probably immediately think of a separated individual. This is what's so mysterious about mm-hmm. this whole concept. This opening quote you mentioned by Alice Bailey, that though we are merged with the whole, we do not lose our identity, but forever remain separated units of consciousness, though one with all that lives or is. How can that be? That's a profound mystery, and yet something in me says that is absolutely true, that we never give up that sense of being, but that it expands and becomes more and more inclusive until it gradually, in time, includes the whole.
I think that's the part of the key, too, that as I said earlier, I think it's the one constant that ever remains. And it's always in the process of expanding, and that's what we should allow it to do. And if we identify with, let's say, our personality, and we are stuck there, mm-hmm. then there will never be any growth or any expansion of that unit of consciousness. And even though the unit of consciousness may be a separate unit, because it is of the soul is group conscious, and therefore it is one with everything else.
That's one of the great values of crises for people, that it jars their sense of identity into a larger, higher realm. Who they thought they were is challenged when they are in a crisis, and sometimes they discover new aspects of their nature, new talents and strengths that they never knew were there before.
We can. I went to the dictionary and looked up identity.
Oh yes.
And it says it right there. It says sameness of essential character, same or self sameness or oneness. So I mean, even Webster understands the the true meaning of
and most enlightened
identity.
Beings that humanity has ever produced, Christ, Buddha, and I might say Krishnamurti also, and several others, they all look upon themselves as being part of humanity, and humanity is an extension of themselves, one and the same. And this is probably why they feel such a great love and caring about all of humanity. They see the rest of humanity as an extension of themselves, and according to modern-day science, and indeed it is. We're doing a show on identity. We're exploring the self. And for those people who just tuned in, we're speaking with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust. And if you'd like to stay tuned, we certainly welcome you to search, to use our show as a way that you can perhaps search for self. And the writings of Alice Bailey have a lot of material, a lot of literature having to do with the self, who we are, what is our relationship to the universe. And you'll be thinking quite a bit if you explore her ideas. There's 24 volumes, so if you really sit down and read all of them, you're going to be busy for a long time. I think you'll find them interesting. I think that it'll cause you to expand your definition of self. And if you want to order our books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, or, well, any of our books for that matter, and by the way, today we're giving away a gift to you, and we're very happy to do so. We're giving away The Science of Meditation, and it's a very interesting booklet. A lot of people have reported being healed through meditation. They reach new levels of self, and of course it's another topic, but I even think through meditation we can understand more about ourselves. There's probably nothing more relaxing or anything that can make you grow more or expand more as a human being than being involved in deep meditation. And so we're very happy to give this book to you. Just by calling us up, you can order that book. It's called The Science of Meditation. Give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, or if you'd prefer, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And I just want to remind you that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations. And so give us a call, and we'll be happy to send you out a general package of information. Do all individuals have an identity, or do groups and even nations also have a collective identity?
Well, individuals have an identity, but we are all part of groups that also have an identity. Yes, we identify with, first off, I suppose, our nation, the nation we belong to. And we can look at the world and see the tremendous problems that nationalism, this sense of distinctiveness as a culture, as a society, can cause. Certainly it's normal and actually an enrichment of the world that nations are not all alike, that cultures and societies are different because they contribute different values to the world tapestry. But this sense of being special and privileged and better than other cultures and societies is a real evil. And that's the inflated sense of self on a national level. You can look at plenty of groups in the world today, too, and see that they are really congealed, if you will, around a concept of themselves as a group that separates them from the rest of humanity and can really work as kind of a divisive force for the greater whole.
Yes, that reminds me of, I wonder if it's a problem. I don't know if it's a problem that we have in this country or not, but it's what I call, and maybe other people call it the same thing, it's the hyphenated American. And so many of us identify. Speaking of identity, we see our identity in our ethnic background, whatever that may be. I mean, whether it's Irish American or Italian American or African American or Cuban American, are we an ethnic group or are we American? And I don't know if we've ever really settle that question or not, and because there is still too much of a tendency, I think, to identify with our ethnic group, which tends to separate us off from other groups. And although at other times we call ourselves Americans, so I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't have any problem with any ethnic background. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just an American. But other people seem to want to put the ethnic group first.
Well, I suppose it's a way of whittling down one's group to a more and more refined and specific category, even identifying oneself in terms of one's national allegiance can be limiting. When you go to the United Nations and are familiar with the work done there, you see that the different workers in the UN do not define themselves in terms of the country from which they originated. They are individuals who are serving the United Nations. Their identity is within the United Nations staff. And this seems to immediately put you into the role of being a citizen of the planet. Yeah. Rather than a citizen of a particular nation.
I think you're correct. I think it's probably enlightened to look upon oneself first as a human being and perhaps then as an American or an Italian or whatever it might be, because it's that nationality or looking upon ourselves as a nationality that really causes so many problems and causes so much separateness. And I think that's much more enlightened to say, first, I'm a human being.
Yes, that was certainly the viewpoint of Robert Mueller, who worked for, I think, 40 years with the United Nations. He came from Alsace-Lorraine at a time when that region of the world was torn between France and Germany, and his own family was divided by that conflict. And he said for himself, he defined himself as a citizen of the planet, as a member of a family, and as a human being. And those were the only categories that he really wanted to be affiliated with.
I think the only thing more enlightened than looking upon oneself as a human being is the idea that I am a life form. Perhaps that should come before I am a human being.
Right.
Because
good
if
point.
One says I am a life form, then one has respect for the dignity of all life forms and perhaps then say I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Does the development of identity have anything to do with spiritual growth?
Well, it has everything to do with spiritual growth. And this concept of identity or of the self is an absolutely vital part of developing one's spiritual consciousness. The sense of oneself being a unique and separated individual is an important achievement along the way, because that's, in a sense, the first step toward realization of one's God self, the realization that one is an individual with an integrity, literally an integrity to one's character, one's beingness, is a major achievement in the development of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But one can't remain there. One has to progress beyond that to a sense of being affiliated with a group and with the whole. So it's the whole evolution of consciousness and of spirituality is really depicted in an ever-expanding sense of the self, as if one were to drop a pebble into a lake and watch the ripples arcing out. That would be a good visual image of the expansion of the sense of identity.
Identity is something it has to do with beingness, and I mean that's the most basic part of us, and that's what comes from God. That's what really is the gift that we have from God and that never changes. I mean, it's said that in the keynote, and that's what's so hard maybe for people to realize, that there is this very core within us that just never changes. What changes is everything around us, or the expansion of the awareness that one undergoes with each each moment, each life. And the expansion of consciousness is what is constantly changing, but the very core of the beingness is what is constant and what remains the same. We never lose that.
I think this whole topic is one that's very difficult to discuss because we are discussing something that lies ahead of most of us and well ahead of us, this ability to identify with the self in all forms of life. We can imagine it, we can try to visualize it, but it's an achievement that's still ahead of us. And yet, I think we have to begin trying to build an idea of what we're heading towards. And there's this concept from, maybe it's from Buddhism, this question really, is, are you as a human being, are you a drop of water in an ocean, or are you the ocean expressed in the drop of water? Well, they're both the same thing. But the water dropped into the ocean merges with the whole, and yet I suppose it retains its essential integrity. That's the gist, as I understand it, of this opening statement from Alice Bailey. One with all that lives and is, and yet always retaining the sense of identity.
It's interesting, too, because just analogous to that might be the idea that just as we are who we are, perhaps we are the universe, just as the water, or the drop of water, just as the whole ocean can be found in the drop of water, the whole universe can be found perhaps in the individual self, but it's up to each of us to have the courage to explore that self. What are some of the means for expanding our sense of identity and for making it more inclusive?
Well, certainly the practice of meditation, as you mentioned in the booklet, The Science of Meditation, that we offer people. A regular practice of meditation inevitably expands one's sense of oneself. And many people who take up a practice of meditation find that they, for a while, go through a period of a bit of disorientation because they are sloughing off the husks of their former self and being exposed to a new concept of what being a human being really entails. Service is another method for expanding the identity, because as we view our work and our interactions with others as a form of service, we enter into a capacity to identify with others on a deeper level and to be able to understand their view, their longing, their aspiration. It opens up the quality of the heart that enables one to see others in a deeper way. And certainly the practice of spiritual study, reading spiritual texts that one appeals to one, that can also awaken and expand the sense of identity.
And Lucis has an interesting offer, too, that I'd like you to take advantage of. If you order the Lucis books from the Lucis organization itself, you'll get a 10% discount if you order all 24 volumes. Of course, you can order from Borders or Barnes & Noble, but the 10% discount is with 1-866-NY-LUCIS. So for all people who've been with us, we would like to say that there's a world prayer called the Great Invocation, and it's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.